Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
I know how to run a hair salon, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. She's a small business owner too, so she knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
We're talking Jameel Burrows and how that affects the defensive line on this episode of Tide Talk Live. Welcome back into Tide Talk Live on this 4th of July as myself and Jake are here recording this episode. So happy 4th to everybody. Jake, what is up, man? How you doing?
Man, doing great. Just glad to have a day off here to celebrate Independence Day. Thank you, England, for trying to, you know, suppress us. But, you know, too bad we took that liberty from you. So 4th of July, let's go, buddy.
That's right. It's one of the best days of every year. So excited to kind of, like you said, sit back and relax and also kind of reflect on how fortunate we are to live in the greatest country on earth. So, you know, thankful for the founding fathers for what they did to yes. fight for that freedom that you mentioned of. So just like you said, it's a good day to kind of sit, relax, reflect, and just enjoy the moment. And we're going to enjoy it by talking some Alabama football. I can't think of anything else I'd rather do than talk some Alabama football on this 4th of July. So we're going to be diving into the Jameel Burrow situation. Of course, he entered the transfer portal over this past weekend. And we're going to be talking about that and also how it kind of affects the defensive line rotation there in Tuscaloosa and maybe some guys that we could expect to kind of step up and make plays in the absence of Jameel Burrows. But before we do that, you know the drill. We want to hear from you. Jump in the comments and let us know who you think could step up and make an impact for Alabama this fall on the defensive line with Jameel Burrows into the transfer portal. Also, make sure you like, share, and subscribe today. You know, hit that bell notification so you don't miss any of our content here at Tide Talk Live. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, just wherever you find great podcasts, you can find us there as well. Make sure you leave a 5-star review and make sure you follow us on all those platforms as well. Jake, Jameel Burrows, a guy who's been in the rotation really at defensive line since his true freshman year back in what would that have been, 2020? Mm-hmm. So a guy that Alabama fans know well, kind of been waiting on him to kind of burst onto the scene and be a consistent impact player for Alabama. That has not yet to happen. And now it doesn't look like it will happen since he is entering the transfer portal after, you know, there was some rumors of a scuffle, or that's the best way to put it, between him and a coaching staff member. So Jake, just your initial thoughts on Jameel Burrows entering the portal.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of shocked by it. I know, like you mentioned, Stacey, he's been in the rotation for, you know, since his true freshman year. But, you know, it just seemed like this year he was going to be like a very key piece in that second unit coming in to spell Tim Smith, one of those areas right there. But now it's not going to happen. So it's kind of disappointing because out of that second unit, I think he was the one that would have the most upside. Unless, of course, I'm talking about this already there and who has been on the team. Tim Smith, probably in that second unit, has got the most upside out of all of them. And eventually, he's probably going to be may take over Tim Smith or Justin Borgby's spot. But out of that second unit that's been there for a while, he has the one that has the most potential to be that catalyst on that second unit. So I was just kind of shocked by it a little bit.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate, you know, the whole situation involving his decision to transfer. I'm sure it was kind of a mutual decision between him and the coaching staff that it was time to part ways. And like you mentioned, he was probably going to be that the next best option off of the bench for Alabama when, in terms of the defensive line, especially considering the experience he has. And his ability to kind of rush the passer from his interior defensive line position. So it is unfortunate, but, you know, if it's time to move on, it's time to move on. And maybe it is best for both Burrow's and Crimson Tide that he move on. But, Jake, as we look at post-Burrow's era of the defensive line in Tuscaloosa, and before we really talk about who could step up in his absence, I want to bring up kind of who you think is going to be the three starters along the defensive line for Alabama this fall, and how you see those guys kind of playing and performing here in 2023.
Yeah, you know, I think I just kind of mentioned the three names and when I spoke earlier, but I feel like Tim Smith, Jaheim Otis, and Justin Borgu is going to be your first unit out. Talking about experience wise, those are your three. You know, Borgby and Tim Smith, your three most experienced guys with the most talent. And then Otis, it seems like this year he's going to be that X, or could be that X factor on that defensive front. I mean, he's just oozing with talent. If he ever gets it together, you could see a guy who is probably a little bit not as – he's a lot more mobile, but maybe not as physically strong as a Mount Cody. But he's a lot more quicker than Mount Cody and get off the ball faster than him. But Otis could probably take up two or three blocks on that interior line to allow somebody to get free and, you know, at the linebacking core to rush the quarterback. So I feel like he's going to be – could be that next guy. And then, of course, Borgby has been there forever. And it seems like every time he's got ready to step up and be a great guy or a great interior lineman, he's had some kind of injury. So hopefully he can stay healthy this year and reach that true potential because, you know, he could be a late first, early second round guy if he, you know, lives up to his expectation this year.
Yeah, I thought that when a Boigby first come to Tuscaloosa that he had a chance to be a first or second round guy. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably passed him by now. It's hard for a guy who's been in college now, I mean, now entering his fifth year to become a first or second round pick because he just hasn't met those expectations yet. Mm-hmm. And he could, like you said, he could come out and just explode this year. You never know. But that would surprise me if he earned his way into the first or second round, but he will be a drafted player simply because of his size, his ability to kind of move and play the run and the pass as well. So, but I'm with you. I think it's going to be a Boigby, Tim Smith, and Jaheim Otis. And, you know, Jaheim Otis is a guy that really intrigues me because he's a young guy who's really come in and he's put in the work, man. He arrived on campus, you know, 400 pounds plus. He's down to 320, 330. His weight loss has just been incredible. His mobility for a guy that's 6'5", 330 is incredible. So I'm with you. I think he's a guy who can take up a lot of blocks, eat up a lot of space, but also make plays for himself as well in the backfield. Yeah. So I'm expecting a big jump for Otis here in year two. He's got a year under his belt. He's played a lot of football now in the SEC, so he knows what to expect. So I'm hoping that Otis really takes that next step as a true sophomore and becomes – kind of that anchor of the defensive line for Alabama. And then Tim Smith, Jake, is a guy that we've loved ever since he's been on campus. And, you know, he's shown a lot of flashes. He's a really good player, but I think he has a chance to be a special player for Alabama, maybe a Christian Barmore type player for Alabama. So I hope that he becomes that. And if he does, it could be a really good year for Alabama in 2023 in terms of the defensive line. But Jake, now as we kind of shift our focus to the next wave of guys, and this is really where Jameel Burrow's entering the portal affects Alabama the most, is this next wave, because he was going to be the fourth guy, in my opinion. But now you got to rely on some other guys to step up and make plays for Alabama. And when you think about that, with Burrow's gone, Jake, who are you looking at to maybe step up and become that fourth option? And then, you know, now with that fourth option or the fifth option now becomes the fourth option and so on and so forth. So yeah. Who's just your next three guys up? It kind of be the best way to look at it for Alabama on the defensive line.
Somebody who's been there for a while, you know, you got Jamari Latham. He could take a net step forward. I mean, after Burrows, you could probably say he was the next guy behind Burrows. So he's going to have to step up and lead that second unit. Tim Keenan, the third, has been there for a while. He could be another one to step up as well. And then Goodwine has been there for a while as well. So those would probably be your next three. But again, you have Tim Smith who's on campus, and just not Tim Smith, but James Smith. But you know, he is so talented as just a freshman. I could see him being slotted in that second, you know, crew as well. So I would probably say it'd probably be Latham, Smith, and probably either Goodwine or Keenan. But also look out for Perry and Edric Keel. Both of them, Perry's been in the system for a year now. I think he maybe got redshirted last year. I'm not 100% sure, but Edric Keel coming in this year, and he's losing with talent as well. So those two guys potentially can step up and take that second rotation over as well later in the season.
Yeah, I agree with you on James Smith. I think James Smith is the next elite defensive lineman for Alabama. So yeah. I would not be shocked at all if he's right there in the next wave of guys after the first team unit. And a guy, you mentioned Jamarian Latham. He's a guy who's a really a good pass rusher. He's a little smaller than most of the other defensive linemen. Him and guys like Curtis Perry and Monkel Goodwine, they're a little bit lighter than most of our defensive linemen, even though I think Goodwine is now getting up to close to 290 pounds. So
yeah.
That's big. But a guy you didn't mention who I'm really high on, who really played a lot, especially towards the latter half of the season, was Damon Payne. I think Damon Payne is a guy that fans are not really talking about enough. I view him in the same light as a guy like a Jameel Burrows, and maybe not quite the pass rusher that Jameel Burrows was, but a guy who can eat up space, get off blocks, and help guys make plays. And I'm glad you also mentioned Tim Keenan, Jake. I like him from that nose tackle position. He could be Alabama's number two nose tackle this year, right behind Jaheim Otis, especially if you want to stay on a more conventional 3-4 front and Jaheim Otis needs a break. I think Tim Keenan's that next guy up. So he's a guy who could see some significant snaps with the first team unit. And you know that Nick Saban and Freddie Roach and Kevin Steele, they're going to rotate the defensive line, Jake. So,
right.
You know, we've mentioned Tim Smith, Justin Aboibi, Jaheim Otis. You got Jamarian Latham, Damon Payne, Tim Keenan, Monkel Goodwine, James Smith. What's that? That's 7-8 guys right there. Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned guys like Curtis Perry. Jordan Renown, another true freshman, Edric Hill, a true freshman. So there's plenty of guys to put in there on the defensive line. And the fact that it's such a deep position, that really makes you feel better, you know, not only as a fan about the depth at defensive line, about Burrows moving on now into the transfer portal. There's plenty of talent there. And maybe this opens up an opportunity for a freshman like James Smith to come in and really prove that he can be that playmaker from the interior defensive line.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And him coming in and oozing talent like he does, he's going to be pushing either Aboigbe or Tim Smith to get better because he's coming for their spot. So, you know, we always talk about competition breeds competition. So, you know, having a great second, you know, tier unit to come in will make that first unit that much better because they're going to be fighting for their spot on the, you know, in that first rotation all year. So, you know, it's just going to make everybody that much better. And it hurts losing Burrows, but like you said, we're 7, 8, 9 deep. Even with some of the guys like Perry and some of the other guys who haven't been on the field yet, but if they see action, they're going to be fine because, you know, they're just too talented and they're 4 and 5 stars across the board at defensive line. So I think losing Burrows hurts, but later on the season, the rotation, swapping players out and not getting too tired late in the season, it's going to be okay. We're going to be fine.
Yeah, and we haven't even mentioned guys like Anquan Barnes or Hunter Osborne, who's another true freshman this year. So there's really about 10 players, if you think about it, that along the defensive line that that could play if you needed the guys to play. But I expect Alabama to rotate about 8 or 9 at most, probably 8 along that first team unit. I would say 6 guys are probably going to get 90% of the first team reps this fall. Mm-hmm. And then you sprinkle in 2 or 3 more that get the other remaining 10% of those first team reps along the defensive line. So the depth is there, the talent is there. And I think this is while we're talking about the defensive line, I think this is a big statement year for the defensive line and the defensive line coach Freddie Roach in the eyes of Alabama fans. He's done a really good job recruiting. But I think it's fair to say that either we've missed on guys in our evaluation, or we're not developing those guys at a good enough rate. So I think this is a big statement season for Freddie Roach and the Alabama defensive line. What's your thoughts on that real quick?
Yeah. How long has he been? He's been coaching the defensive line down there. It's been four years, maybe 4 or 5. So, you know, this feels like a statement year for him. Now, I know everybody, people were talking about we missed on Peter Woods, which, you know, I kind of agree with. But James Smith.
Before you said, we signed like 4 of the top 18 defensive linemen in last year's class. I mean, it's not a recruiting thing.
Yeah, I don't think it is either.
I really don't. And sure, there's been a couple guys that we haven't gotten, but you don't get everybody. You don't get everybody. Nope. And so then it comes down to development. And look, I love Freddie Roach. Freddie Roach was a heck of a player for Alabama in his time, and he's an Alabama guy, and I want him to succeed. So I hope and I pray that he gets it done and this defensive line gets it done this year. So it kind of shuts up a lot of people.
Yeah, and if it's development, I will say that, you know, he could have been a first or second round pick, but the injuries, you know, Freddie Roach can't help injuries happen. But on the flip side, you got to have that next guy step up and play once the injury happens. So kind of the injuries on that defensive, you know, line has kind of hurt too. But while he's been there, I mean, Quinnen Williams has been outstanding. We saw Christian Barmore come on the scene, you know, guys like that. So there's being playmakers there. It's just coaching or maybe development hasn't been on all of them, but it has worked on some from time to time. I don't know.
I could be wrong. I don't think Roach was there for Quinnen Williams.
Yeah. I don't think he was. Yeah.
I think he was for Barmore, but I don't think he was for Quinnen Williams. I'd have to go back and look. It's, you know, the years run together now, but,
15 years of it.
And I don't blame fans for being disgruntled about the defensive line performance. When you're Alabama and you recruit the way Alabama recruits and you're used to the development that Alabama develops, every couple of years you better have an elite defensive lineman. And we have not had one since Christian Barmore. And he wasn't even elite, Jake. He was a second round pick.
Yeah, you're right.
He was really good. There's no doubt. But he was not elite. He wasn't a Jalen Carter. He wasn't a Trayvon Walker. Mm-hmm. That George has put out the last couple cycles. So it's time to put up if you're Freddie Roach. It's time to show what you can do. And I'm not calling him out. I'm really not trying to anyways, because like I said, I love Freddie Roach. He's an Alabama dude through and through. So I want it to work out. And I think this is a big year. To me, Tim Smith is a guy that he better have a big year.
Yeah.
He better. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion. Or James Smith better step up and prove why he was a 5-star talent. And I think Freddie Roach is in what they would call a contract year, in my opinion.
Let me get your thoughts on something. I'm going to ask you a question, Stacy, and this kind of ties into it. But I'm not sure how the play calling from the defensive side, how it interferes. But you think maybe some of the, you know, the scheming between Golden kind of had an effect on how the defensive line has played in the last couple of years?
Well, I think that is part of it. I mean, you look back, Alabama has played a lot more just regular 2 defensive linemen down. Mm-hmm. So, and look, Alabama doesn't look for a lot of playmaking defensive linemen anyways. They want those guys in a normal 3-man front to eat up space, take up blockers so their linebackers can make plays. But nobody has done that at an elite level yet in the last couple of years. So Alabama needs, and I'll say this, I thought Aboibe was playing his best football of his career the first four games of last season before he got hurt.
I know.
I think he would have been, I don't want to say a difference maker, but he would have made a difference. You know, I think there's a difference in those two statements.
Right.
He wouldn't have been a difference maker, but he would have helped as far as the performance of the defense last season if he had not gotten hurt. So I think it's time for this defensive line to show improvement. And I'm not sure there's been much of improvement over the past couple of seasons in particular.
Yeah, and I just want to say one other thing real quick. I do think the defensive line is going to make a next step this year because we talked about it when we reviewed the A-Day game. No, you didn't hear a lot of the defensive line guys being called out, but they was doing their job because how many tackles did linebackers and sacks and guys like that? You know the defensive line is doing its job, like you said, when they're taking up blockers and taking up space to allow the linebackers to rush in and make a play in the hole or make a sack on the quarterback. So maybe they don't get their names called as much, but if they're doing their job and you say a linebacker is getting 12 to 15 tackles and two and a half, three tackles for loss, maybe two sacks, you got to give the defensive line credit because they're doing their job at that point.
Well, and there's a reason this sport's a team game, and it's all about the 11 guys on the field working together. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to be better at inside linebacker this year than what we've been over the past couple seasons. Look, Henry Toto was fine. Jalen Moody was fine. Mm-hmm. But I think we have more instinctive and athletic players at inside linebacker this year than what we've had over the past couple of years. And I think that's going to make a difference. You know, when your inside linebackers play well, it makes your defensive linemen play well. Right. When your defensive linemen play well, it makes your inside linebackers play well. So there's a reason it's a team sport, and I think those two positions go hand in hand. And I think you're going to see a much improved front seven from Alabama than what we've seen over the past couple of seasons.
Yeah, I agree 100%, man. You know, July 4th is here, and usually it seems like the summer goes by quickly after July 4th. We get into next month. It's football time again, man. Just think about it.
In 2 weeks, SEC Media Days will be going on. And I think 4 weeks and just a couple days, Alabama begins fall practice. So it's right around the corner, a lot to look forward to. We're going to be here every step of the way here at Tide Talk Live to bring you all the Alabama football coverage that we can bring. I will be at just a kind of a PSA. I will be at the beach the week of SEC Media Days. I don't know how much I'll be able to do down there. It just kind of depends on how my day goes down at the beach. But Jake will be here if there's something that's just pressing and has to be, you know, reported. So he'll be here to share that. But a lot to look forward to over the next few weeks before fall camp arrives, and we cannot wait for that. So much to look forward to, but that's going to wrap this episode up. Thank you so much for watching. Make sure you do jump in the comments and let us know your thoughts on Burrow's transferring, who you think can step up in his absence, and maybe a name or two to watch this fall from the defensive line. And also give us your thoughts on defensive line coach Freddie Roach as well, since he took up a lot of the conversation in our episode today. But that's going to wrap it up. Thank you so much for watching. We'll be back soon, but until next time, roll tide.
Roll tide.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John LeFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.